NBA Australia, how are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. You bloody well better be, because there was no basketball today. So I hope you're, you know, well, there was no NBA basketball. The NCAA tournament, championship game, UConn go back-to-back. And the NBA cowered it out of playing a game against it. Sure. Okay, that's fine. It is Tuesday, April 9th, all day. Oh, geez, Tuesdays. And I'm your host, James Clements, slightly recovered from Gather Round. I actually slept last night, so happy days. You can also see my ugly mug on Fox Sports Lab NBA, the official AFL Supercoach podcast, as well as the AFL Today show. Here in Larry Armour Studios today. I had to run back from the actual studios after the Supercoach taping went and took forever. So that's all right, though. Comfy surrounds. I could just press all my buttons and I know where they are. Really quick one today. Standings breakdown and playoff matchup rankings. Basically what I want to see happen in the first round. That's kind of it. We'll do some yeah nahs. I'm Bubba Opinion today. We'll preview all the games tomorrow. There are 14 of them, so that'll be fun. That might take a bit. But yeah, the playoffs. They're a week away. How exciting is that? Very. So, without further ado, let's get into it. 1070. This is the episode number of NBA Australia. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Ah, you better. Tell you what, better watch out for the wang to the head if you're AD. That dude just can't take a break, can he? Out with his eye injury and all that sort of gear from yesterday's show as we're sort of talking it out. But I'll tell you what. Should be right. And in terms of the Shaq attack, just interesting little chat about how you've got, I don't know, Shaq dumping on Chuck just the other day. It was pretty fun. Just talking about the college basketball and Shaq jumps on all there. And I guess he's also dumping on, what, the Knicks when he's saying Orlando are going to sweep him yesterday. So that's fun. Right. Let's do some quick news. Lindsay Harding. She's going to interview for the Hornets head coaching job, which is pretty fun. She's currently the Sacramento Kings G League team. What is it? Stockton. And won the G League Coach of the Year. So that's kind of cool. Might remember also, number one pick in the 2007 WNBA draft. So that's kind of cool. Go Charlotte. That'd be pretty cool. First female head coach in the NBA. Let's go. Other bits of news. Brandon Spindles Ingram. He's progressing, but he's still got no timetable to return. Bit of a rough one. In terms of other good stuff, though, in terms of injuries, Trae Young cleared to return to practice after his finger surgery with his old bung digit. Dayot. And Isaiah Thomas, he signed a contract for the rest of the season with the Suns. The little guy, the King in the Fourth. That's exciting. Remember when the King in the North and the King in the Fourth were a thing? Back when, before Game of Thrones completely fucking cooked it. And Karl Anthony Towns. He's trending towards returning before the end of the season. Pretty interesting. Shams said that he's very, very close to returning to action. So that's kind of cool. He had the weird meniscus thing in the start of March. So it's been five weeks. He underwent the procedure on March 12th. So it's been bang on a month. So anyway, see what happens. Will that help the Wolves? Yeah, nah. I mean, Naz Reid's been bloody good. I'm just saying. Just saying. Cool. That's about it. Because there's no games today, so there's also not that much news. There was an interesting one, I think, about the refs, how they missed a bunch of calls of that Heat Pacers game the other day. And the Knicks also had some, they got fined $25,000 for like injury reporting stuff, but whatever. But the refs screwed up two things. They had one wrong call and one missed call in the final minute for the Heat Pacers game the other day. That sent the Heat, you might remember, down to the 8th seed. So I don't know. Just saying, a bit wonky. They said the Tyler Hero was fouled by TJ McConnell. No foul was called. And then there was a call against Bam with 17 seconds left, and that was wrong. Miles Turner hit the two free throws after it as well. So, yeah, again, what do we say here in NBA Australia whenever a ref screws up that badly? Fine them. $10,000. Same with the rescinding of the tech fouls. Anyway, cool. Let's do some standings breakdown, shall we?
Oh, that sounds like it's a good plan, Jim.
Yeah, that's the plan. We're doing the thing. Right. out east. Before we have a huge slate tomorrow and you're like, what is going on? This is before all the permutations. As it currently stands, in the east, your Boston Celtics are 62-16. Look, and most teams have about, like, what, 4 games left. So the season does finish pretty soon, obviously. And it's like within basically a week or so, we go through to about, I think, next, I want to say, Friday. I might be wrong. No. Jeez, next Tuesday. Bloody hell. Wait, not even that. It's, yes, I think that's our Tuesday. We'll see what happens. The calendar's confusing. Might be next Monday and that'll be it, but either way. So we've got less than a week left then, maybe. But Boston is 62-16. Milwaukee are 47-31. They are only 1 game ahead of the 46-32 Orlando Magic and the 46-32 New York Knickerbockers of New York City. Cleveland, oh, pour one out for Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Have dropped to fifth. They're a half game back of the Magic and the Knickerbockers. But remarkably, still only 1.5 games back of the 2 seed. And the Pacers are behind them, 45-34, 1 full game back as well. So that's the top six. Vying to jump into the guaranteed playoff position in the top six, the Sixers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers, are 1 win behind the Pacers, 44-35 they are. So they're 1 loss worse and 1 win worse. So they are 1 game back than the Pacers. And then the Heat are 1/2 game behind the Sixers at 43-35. And then you got the Bulls and the Hawks, just, I don't know, 2 one-legged men in an ass-kicking contest. 37-41 for the Bulls, 36-42 with the Atlanta Hawks. There is only 1 game between the Bulls and the Hawks, so their games remaining do actually matter quite a lot as to who gets home court advantage in that 9-10 stoush that will be brutal to watch. 7-8 is a little bit more interesting, right? Because the Heat are only 1.5 games out of the six. Six is only 1 game out of the six. So there's still a little bit of movement that could be made. And it wouldn't be a giant surprise if, like, Cleveland suddenly turned it around or if they kept losing because they've lost 3 on the trot or if the Pacers just sort of had one little bit of a hiccup and it all went pear-shaped and they sort of slipped out of the top six. But they are playing a little bit better. They've won 2 on the trot. The Sixers won the 5 straight. And we've just talked about how the Heat got dogged out of that Pacers win. But it just sort of shows you just how much, like, that sort of, like, reffing screw-up can completely change the entire facet of the playoff makeup. Out west, Minnesota are currently on top ahead of the Nugs with the tiebreaker. 54-24. The conference record for the Wolves is 37-13. Their division record is 12-3 as well. Not bloody bad. So they're both on 54-24. The Oklahoma City Thunder, giddy up! 53-25, so 1 game back out of the top 2 seeds. And then you've got the Clippers 3 games behind them at 50-28. The Mavs 2 games behind the Clippers at 48-30. So going to be tough for the Mavs to catch the Clippers and flip that and get home court advantage for the 4-5. But they are at least feeling pretty safe-ish, I guess, in the 5 spot. But the thing is, you can never trust the Mavs. They play the Hornets, though. That's handy. The Heat, the Pistons, and the Thunder on the last day. So you feel like if they should just, as long as they take care of business against the Hornets and the Pistons, Dallas are the 5 seed, basically. The Clippers, if they were to drop a couple of games, who knows what could happen? Nobody knows. They have back-to-back games against the Suns, then they have the Jazz and the Rockets, which are, again, sort of who knows what could happen vibes. Pretty interesting, though. And then you've got, now, six, the Suns and the New Orleans Pelicans both tied. So that's the 6-7. That's the line of demarcation, don't forget. The top six. So currently the Pelicans are out of the top six in 7, but the same record as the Suns. So there's no room for slippage for either team. The Suns are 46-32. The Pelicans have got to be sitting there going, oh, man, how do we cook this? Zion's healthy. This is chaos. Anyway, the Kings are the real sort of question mark for me and for probably everybody. They're 45-33. They're a game back of the Pelicans and only 1/2 game ahead of the Lakers. The Lakers!
The Lakers stink!
Not really. They've gone 8-2 in their last 10 and they are a real threat to snag the 8 seed. And they're really only 1.5 games out, watch out, of the 6 seed. Oh, geez. The hated Lakers. That would be remarkable. They finish off the season. They've only got 3 games left, though, the Lakers, They're 45-34. They play the Warriors tomorrow, and they have Grizzlies Pelicans, both on the road. I feel like they could sneak into the eight, but the Kings, for their part, they play the Thunder, the Pelicans, the Suns, and then the Blazers. So the Lakers might just squeeze past them. It'd be pretty funny. It'd be pretty cool. I mean, it's neither of those things because it's the bloody Lakers, but still. And then the Warriors are 1.5 games behind the Lakers as well, 43-35 in the 10 spot, and everybody else is obviously all cooked. So underrated aspect, again, of that Dallas-Houston thing was that the Rockets did waive Dante Exum, and Dante Exum waived the Houston Rockets' chances at making the postseason. Pretty cool. The Warriors play the Lakers, obviously. Then they've got the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Jazz. They should probably go 2-2 in that, at least. It's going to be a bit tough to get up beyond the Lakers, I reckon. Anyway, so that's the standings breakdown and the way the playoffs would sort of roll out right now. I mean, if it all went sort of chalk, one, you know, I just don't really want to, you know, sort of see it all go chalk. But, you know, Sixers, Heat would be the 7-8 battle. 9-10 would be Bulls, Hawks. Tricky one with the Hawks, Bulls, I think. Sixers might be a little bit too good for the Heat. Who knows? They'd land the 7. Then they'd have to play the Bucks. That would be hilarious. But that's ideal. Let's talk out these ideal matchup scenarios, shall we? What I think would be kind of neat. Miami loses to Philly. Like, we'll just sort of call it how it is right now, right? So Miami loses to Philly in the 7-8, perhaps. What do you reckon? Would that happen? Or maybe, Jim, I don't know. The Sixers are a weird one, but they do have Embiid back. They do have a, you know, pretty handy couple of guys. We've got Embiid, Maxey and co. And against Miami this season, they did go. They beat them, what was it, last week? They've beaten them, I think, 2 of the 3 times. So that sounds about right. Oh, no, they've gone 2-2, I think. Yeah. So it's a bit tricky, but I think that'll be a really fun matchup because you got Miami, Philly. That's always going to be tough. Chicago to Atlanta. I feel like it doesn't matter who wins that game. They get steamrolled by Miami. Right? So that would leave us with, say, if this all sort of goes out, right? Chicago beats Atlanta or whatever. Let's say Chicago then lose to Miami, so we just go 1-8 as it already stands. Boston would play Miami. That is unreal. That's the Eastern Conference Finals from last year. Boston are 3-0 this season, but it's playoff Jimmy against a team that he went and beat last year. I wonder if Caleb Martin will turn back into Michael Jordan mixed with Scottie Pippen like he did last year. Who knows? It's unlikely, but it could be right there. They've got Tyler Hero back. The Heat, who knows? Dangerous floater. It would be hilarious if Boston is sitting here going, we won 65 games. Now we're going to beat the bloody Heat again? What is going on? I think they'd still smash them, though. Number 2 and 7 would be Milwaukee. Milwaukee, it's Algonquin for the good land. Up against the Philadelphia 1-2-3-76ers. That's right, it's the Doc Rivers Bowl. Giannis versus Embiid. I think the Bucks are 3-0 across the season against the Sixers. It's always weird when it comes to the Sixers' records, though, and you sort of go, oh, right, yeah, I guess. How did they go? And you're like, well, they lost opening night. They lost again back in February, and they lost again in March. And you're like, well, how much of this involves Embiid? And you're like, well, only one. So it's a bit wonky, but it makes a really fun series, right? Because anytime you get Embiid and Giannis, a couple of MVPs going hammer and tongs, Nick Nurse, who took Doc Rivers' job, Doc Rivers, who stole Adrian Griffin's job, going back at it. That'd be great. That's an awesome 2-7 matchup, Milwaukee-Philly. I think as it would sort of stand, if we tried it standing now, you'd have 3-6, which would be Orlando-Indy, right? I don't like that matchup. It's not as fun. Or maybe it is, but Orlando-Cleveland. So if we knock Cleveland down to 6, that'd give us length for days. This was a 2-2 season split. You've got Donny Mitchell. You've got Garland. You've got Jalen Suggs, Johnny Isaac on the other side. So length and defense up against the, you know, the offensive first backcourt of the, you know, Cleveland. Where are they?
Cleveland!
Cavaliers. It's a really interesting setup. Orlando versus Indy might get like 87 people watching it. Just saying. Orlando-Cleveland, that may be a bit more fun because that also would then give us 4-5. We'll just call that Knicks versus Pacers, and that's a Spike Lee-Reggie Miller bowl. That's just 90s as I love it. Nothing screams awesome, weird 90s playoffs like New York-Indy. Indy won that season series 2-1. Like, I feel like it'd also give Indy a really good chance at knocking off this Knicks team, who are pretty wonky in the extreme, but still have a fully armed and operational Jalen Brunson who can just kick your head in at any sort of moment in time. So it could be a bit weird, but I feel like that would be at least kind of fun. Just if nothing else, it'd be very evocative. And you get Spike for all these games up against Indy. You'd be evoking all those years. That'd be fun as hell. But yeah, poor one out for the Bulls and Hawks. I just don't want to see them in the actual playoffs. That's just, they're gross. They are basketball abominations at times. Out west. So at the moment, as it sort of stands, as I said, the Pelicans are outside the six. So if we sort of took that at face value right now, you'd have the, if we say that the Lakers jump up into eight and bump the Kings down, the funniest thing would be the Kings then losing to the Warriors in the 9-10, wouldn't it? So we're going funny, I reckon. We're going funny. Golden State beat the Kings in the 9-10. The Lakers beat the Pelicans. AD against his old team in a playing game. Brutal. It would be very fun, though. Then New Orleans could come out and beat Golden State, and that'd be kind of fun, right? Pelicans, you got Spindles Ingram maybe back, who knows, but you got Zion, the big rig, CJ, the Pelicans, just like this weird defensive unit. Dyson Daniels, the Dustbuster, CJ McCollum, Herb Jones, it's all going on. And everyone will twist themselves into fucking pretzels going, no, Golden State will win that. It'll be really fun if the Pelicans knocked them out. That would leave us with one Minnesota versus New Orleans. Ant-Man versus Zion. Dunks for days. That could be sick. This is a 2-2 split across the season as well. That is an electric 1-8 matchup. Minnesota versus the Pelicans. Jim, you just said that no one had fucking watched like Orlando versus Indy. Yeah, but this is a one-seeded Minnesota team that's pretty fun. You've also got Rudy Gobert, is that what they were, versus my name is Jonas Valanciunas. You know how those Euros go against each other, just saying. 2-7 would give us, in this case, Denver versus LA. That's right, a West, we'd have a conference final rematch in both conferences in the first round. Denver are 3-0 this season as well. But if you listen to Lakers fans, last year's sweep at the hands of Nuggets, the Lakers basically actually swept the Nuggets because it was the closest sweep ever. That means they should just hang another banner next to their in-season tournament one. Denver Lakers, though, would be electric for 2-7. It would just be really, really fun. And also, it would get rid of the Lakers very easy and very early, which I'm all here for. Because that would also give us the 3-6 at the moment. The KD Bowl, OKC versus the Phoenix Suns. Giddy up. Remember, Kevin Durant snaked OKC, and they could have an awesome chance at going, hey, Kevin, remember how you snaked us to go to a 73-win team and glom on to two cheap rings and a couple of cheap finals MVPs? And then you snaked them and went to Brooklyn, and then you went crawling to Phoenix to go, because as soon as it got hard, you ran away again. It would be the funniest outcome in the world if OKC then beat Phoenix. They've got length to cover those perimeter scorers of Booker, KD, and Beal. OKC went 3-0 against them this season. Sign me up. And then 4-5 is just Clippers-Dallas anyway. But this has happened twice already. The Clippers had the Mavs number, right? They've beaten them twice. Luka just out there firing. What was that? Is that the bubble? Yeah. Beat him again the other time. This would be fascinating. 2-1 towards the Clippers, I think, this year. But this is Luka, Kyrie versus PG, maybe Kawhi? Because no one bloody knows what's going on with him. So that's not great. How would it be? I mean, all 87 of the Kawhi, well, of the Lakers fans out there would be like, Clippers fans, rather, sorry. All 87 Clippers fans would be like, it's fine that we don't know what's going on with Kawhi. Yeah, it's Nothing weird. Yeah, right knee inflammation. No, that'll definitely be okay. Goal. But Luka, Kyrie, Paul George, Harden, Kawhi Leonard, it's set up to be awesome. Dante Exum knocking in game winners and shit. Just imagine it, bro. Just imagine it, mate. It'd be sick, bro. So sign me up for 4-5 Clippers, Dallas. So I think those are like the most fun ones, right? Boston, Miami, Milwaukee, Philly, Orlando, Cleveland, Knicks, Pacers. Yes, mate. And then out west, Minnesota, Pelicans, Denver, Lakers, Thunder, Suns, Clippers, Dallas. It's kind of cool. I mean, obviously, if you want to snag the Warriors in there to take on like Minnesota or something, so it's like Andrew Wiggins. But I mean, it means the Warriors, if the Lakers get past the Kings and then the Warriors beat the Kings again, it would be kind of funny. Just saying. Yeah. That is the Lakers. I've turned myself into a pretzel. New Orleans losing to the Lakers in the 7-8. Warriors knocking out the Kings. Warriors getting knocked out by Pelicans. There we go. I've straightened it out. Figured it out. Let's go, though. Can't wait for playoffs. Still, we've got four games left each team. This is fun. This is squirrel times. Let's go. All right, let's do some quick yeah-nos and then previews and get out of here right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia. Yeah, now let's get your merch. Get your merch because they're brought to you by the NBA Australia shop.
Steve up.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Let's do it. Go to nbaaustralia.com/shop. Can you talk, Jim? I've had a long 9 days. It's like one of those ones you're like, oh, hang on a second. I've been working for 9 days straight. This sucks. Anyway, nbaaustralia.com/shop. Get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a stubby holder. I'm wearing one of the white t-shirts right now. Bloody good. Get a coffee mug. There's only a couple of those left, so get right around them. Let's do some yeah nos. Oh, yeah, you can also click through the socials, can't you, to buy the stuff. Yeah nos, four games left, three games left. Can the Lakers catch the Kings? Yeah, nah, yeah, I think they can. So I feel like... So the Lakers have got the three games remaining. I think the Lakers tomorrow might drop that game against the Warriors, but then beat the Grizzlies and the Pelicans. The Kings, I think, could lose all three of their next ones, and then it'd come down to their Blazers game on the last day of the season. So if the Lakers beat the Warriors tomorrow, it is on for young and old because they could just win out, and I think that'd pop them over the top of the Kings easily. Can Orlando go top two? Yeah, nah, I mean, yeah. The Bucks have lost four on the trot. They play the Celtics, the Magic, the Thunder, and then the Magic again. So it's quite literally, I think this is one of the underplayed storylines of the season right now, is that Orlando are literally going into like a mini playoff series against the Bucks to steal the 2 seed. That is wicked. I love it. Let's go. Go the Magic. They're one game back. Do I believe? I believe. You can throw Jalen Suggs at Dame Lillard. It'd be unreal. Johnny Isaac goes to Giannis. On for young and old. They can definitely do that. Yeah, nah. Do Denver win the West? Yeah, nah. They're tied with the Wolves right now. Denver finish off with the Jazz. Then the Wolves. That might turn into a battle for the 1 seed because... The rest of the Nugs games, they play the Spurs and the Grizzlies. They should win both of those. The Wolves play the Wizards, then that Nuggets game. Then they get the Hawks, and then a home game against the Suns. And it feels like, they lost to the Suns last week. But it feels like the Suns could be like an interesting team that I think the Wolves would definitely like their chances against, right? On the last day of the season or whatever, to snag a 1 seed. They'd feel pretty good about that. It's a good setup either way, right? How did they go? They were lost 133-115 against Phoenix on November 16 and lost 97-87 the other day. So they're 0-2 though this year. So maybe not great for the Wolves. Yeah, maybe Denver can top West. Yeah, nah, yeah. All right. What else have we got? Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I think it'd be kind of cool for the Wolves just to go in as a one seed. I don't know if that's unpopular, but it's like it's almost this fait accompli that like Denver are going to do it. And you're like, wouldn't it be kind of cool if the Wolves did it? Because when they inadvertently and inevitably come crashing down, it's going to be funnier. Just saying. That also leads into a bit of Outback Tokos. Oh, yes. Yes. It's Tuesday at Outback. You know what that means? Well, I had to fly back from Adelaide and gather around where I, you know, had a bunch of pie floaters or whatever. Had to get some stuff for the squids on the way back, didn't I? That's right. Got a couple of just, I don't know, flash roasted sparrows on a stick. Just a classic South Australian delicacy. They call them crow eaters, I'll tell you. Either way, so boom. Chucked them in the bag, brought them over the squids. They had them up. Goes great with the flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is not having the Warriors in the NBA playoffs is good for the NBA. Because it means we can finally at least start bloody focusing on some other super duper stars rather than just trying to trot out the same old tired storylines of Steph Curry and co. Only at Outback. This is an interesting, I love this idea. The NBA's like, oh no! Who's going to be the new stars when LeBron and Steph retire? I don't know. The 87 million fucking awesome NBA players you've already got and you don't know how to fucking market somehow? Seriously, there is so much fucking talent right now, especially you think about this West playoffs where I just mentioned about how they don't have the Warriors in them and you've still got, what did I list out? Ant-Man versus Zion. You'd have Jokic versus LeBron, all right, and AD. The Thunder, the nascent, awesome young Thunder with SGA who could win the MVP and bloody Josh Giddey and J-Dub up against Kevin fucking Durant, Brad Beal and Booker. And then you got the Clippers of Kawhi, Paul George, Harden and co up against Luka and Kyrie. That is wicked fun. That's just the West. So yeah. We don't need the Warriors. Just saying. All right. Let's do a quick break and then we'll do all the previews for this 14-game slate tomorrow right after this one.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. First, quick Patty Mills game day, or game day Twitter check-in. This is just Patty looking fire. He's just posted this one outfit that he's wearing across all socials because it looks awesome. Just him grooving in the car, listening to some Bob Marley. Then a picture of him in the matching shorts and cardigan combo. Awesome looking shoes too. And then he's got his Cadbury Taker shots. With a pickleball. Sure. Outfit breakdown. Travel day fit. He's actually talking it out. Oh, that is awesome. Go check out Patty Mills' iJuice. I'll tell you. That is fun on the bun. Right. This huge slate tomorrow. Let's do it.
Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Oh, yeah? Not bad. A lot of super coach gear today. Talking it all out. Having a good time. Now, I did take down some of these lines yesterday. Well, actually, no. This morning. So we'll see if any of these have changed. So Detroit go to Philly tomorrow. Philly should win this one and win this handily, right? 15.5 point favorites at home. I'm still going to go Philly just because Detroit, Monty Williams just doesn't know his ass from his elbow. Joel Embiid will just go out and go, I need one game where I look fucking awesome and he'll play like 28 minutes and score like 34 points. I think that's tomorrow. I think Tyrese Maxey will revel a bit of space doing a little bit more space, a little bit more freedom to score without having this sort of, oh, I have to do everything for everything else because we don't have Joel as well. So I think I really like the Sixers, -15.5. It's a big line, but let's go. Indy, Toronto. You couldn't make this one high enough, and it's already bounced out from 11. It was 9.5. It's now 11.5. So I'm still going to go the Pacers because Toronto are just... Oh, boy. Indy do have, like, weird sort of games where they get played a little bit closer than they ought to. That would be my only pause there. So, just saying. Be an interesting one when it comes to how they sort of look to stymie their own ideas. And like Toronto have just sort of rolled RJ Barrett out there, Emmanuel Quickley at times, and just sort of like won two games randomly now, beating the Wiz last week and the Bucks. But the Pacers, look, beating the Heat the other day, beating the Thunder, they're probably playing a little bit better. The 12 points, look, they beat the Thunder by 14. I think they'll be right. Give me Indy, minus 11.5. Dallas, Charlotte. Same sort of vibe here. I think Charlotte might be a little bit of a sneaky, hang on, how did they cover this game? Plus 10.5 at home. Let's see if that's changed. That is 12.5 now. I'm going to go Charlotte. I don't trust Dallas to blow out teams. It's like one of the things that, unless it's just an absolute basket case kind of setup, like Dallas went toe-to-toe with Houston, obviously snuck over the line there in overtime. They beat the Sand Hill by 14 points out of the Hawks. They beat the Rockets by 13, 18 last week. Charlotte at home, they played the Thunder really tight. They beat the Magic. They played the Blazers and the Celtics a bit tight too. 12.5. I'm going to go Charlotte at home to cover that one. Dallas will make you sweat every time. Boston-Milwaukee. Now, this game is awesome. It's the bit of the, again, it's another Doc Rivers bowl because Doc Rivers is now just going to coach every team. But Tatum, Giannis, we don't know how Middleton's going with his tooth. I still like the Celtics just to go in there and like curb stomp them. The Bucks have just looked like dog shit. So, yeah, sorry, Bucks, but pack her up, boys. Boston, minus 1.5. Miami-Atlanta. This is a big, big, big game for Miami. On the road in Atlanta. I feel like the talk of Trae Young coming back will throw the Hawks a little bit. So let's just check these odds again. It is 3.5. Yeah, I'm going to go Miami minus 3.5 in that. They're still sort of working out their stuff, but I'll go, I trust Miami and Bam and Jimmy Butler to beat the Hawks. Then we have Washington, 16.5 point underdogs against the Wolves. The Wizards are, I don't know, Los Horrible. I think that's the official term. Seriously, the Wiz are like really, really bad. But 16.5 is a really big line. The Wiz will lose this game. But they beat the Bucks last week. They only lost to the Lakers by 5. They did then lose to both Portland and the Raptors. So maybe the tank is like going even harder. But by the same token, Washington are only 15-64. They've already got and locked away a bottom three record. So I think they'll actually try a little bit here. And I think 16.5 is a little bit too much. So give me Washington plus 16.5 in Minnesota. We lose that by 14. Orlando take on Houston. As I mentioned, Orlando need to keep on winning and have a really good chance at stealing a top two seed. So I like Orlando in this. Their length, the defensive nous of their backcourts that they roll out there at times. Kind of like it. You've got Palo up against Jabari. That'll be a nice matchup too. A couple of top three picks. I don't mind the Magic in Houston. I think like now that Houston's eliminated, they might sort of just go, oh, geez. It'd be a lot of Jock Landau. Spurs, Memphis. The Spurs are actually favorites in this because Victor Wembanyama has just been going ham on everybody, which makes sense because he's very good at basketball. Whereas the Grizzlies, look, we know that they're not great. That's what happens when you lose your best player for the entire season. But they're also like going, oh, we're going to list basically everybody out now. So no Jaren Jackson Jr., no Santi Aldama, no Vince, no Desmond Bane. So this one might be a bit tricky. Let's have a look and see what they're listing at the moment. Yeah. This might be a Spurs win. I just don't trust the Memphis injury report for them to get a win. They do play really hard, but if they don't have anybody, it might be just a Wemby attack. The Knicks, they take on Chicago. If the Bulls can sneak out a win here, they can basically lock away the 9 spot and home court advantage in the play-in. Plus 4.5 for the Bulls. I don't mind them sneaking out a win, riding some DeMar Magic. And the Knicks just sort of stumble a hint. Sacramento +4.5 in OKC. This all sort of depends on whether or not SGA is coming back. Oh, it's now 5.5. Yeah, I'm going to take that for the Sacramento Kings. Roll the Suver out. This is another team that needs to play really hard and is absolutely desperate to keep a hold on a top eight spot. I think OKC win this, but I think Sacramento comes right down to the wire. And OKC just hold on. Denver, Utah. The Nugs are 15.5 point favorites now. I might have to go Utah. Utah have been, again, tank-worthy and going super tank, going the full tank. Like, absolutely full tank. They're now 29-49. But they can't really tank anymore. Like, they're not going to catch Brooklyn. I think they put up a little bit of a fight against Denver. 15.5 is a big, big, big number. Let's have a look. And in terms of Denver-Utah's matchups, 121-42 back at the start of March. Denver did absolutely beat the crap out of the Hawks. But Utah pushed the Pacers. They only lost by 8. They did lose by 29 to the Clippers and 16 to the Cavs before that. 15.5. I'm going to go Utah at home to cover that line just. Bit of a backdoor cover as Denver put in the reserves late. Clippers, Phoenix. Fascinating game with no Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi. 7.5 point underdogs are the Clips. They, in terms of their injury report, it's going to be an interesting setup for who they roll out there, right? Paul George, Harden up against KD and Booker. They've won 3 on the trot. And 7.5 point underdogs. There's no one else on the injury report for the Clippers outside of Primo, Tyson, Kawhi. So I might go the Clippers +7.5 in Phoenix. A bit of that perimeter defense. Stick with them. Golden State Lakers. The Lakers. The Warriors have beaten the Lakers 2 straight times. I think they can win this one too. It's an interesting setup though. Look, it wouldn't surprise me if this is a 1 point Lakers win and Golden State cover the 1.5, if that makes sense. I think the Warriors can still win this. I think the Lakers, look, they might drop this and still fall backwards into scooching by the Kings. If they beat Golden State tomorrow, they will get the 8th seed, I reckon. I think Golden State make them work really, really, really hard. It depends on if AD plays or not. I think Golden State might be a little bit too good if they don't have AD. And then Pelicans, Portland. 11.5. Is that still the same line? Let's have a look. 12.5 now. Oh, the Warriors are now 2.5 point underdogs too. I'm going to take that. Pelicans -12.5 against Portland. Portland have given up the ghost. And it's now getting pretty, pretty ugly for the Blazers fans, isn't it? PDX Pete is somewhere nodding furiously. They've also beaten them the last 5 times. And the Portland Trailblazers just got smoked by 17 the other day by Boston. And they did have that weird, fun little run where they beat the Charlotte Hornets and the Wizards, but they also lost to Miami by 60 a week ago. So give me the Pelicans -12.5. And there is a 14-game slate set up for you for tomorrow. Jeez, might have to work from home so I can track all that. It's chockers. All right, but we'll be back to On Deck tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG. And, of course, get around the AFL Today show. So we've got plenty of stuff from Gather Round on all the socials. You can find all the videos on Facey on Sports Today Show, AU. Sports Today Show, yeah. And, yeah, you can find AFL Today across all the other socials, IG, TikTok, Twitter, all that good stuff. You can see my smiling mug hanging out with Luke Hodge, Isaac Smith, doing the Ginnivans. That was fun. Hanging out, just watching footy. Enjoyed that. But either way, get around NFL Australia as well with myself and Gaz. We'll have some draft stuff coming up. And we've got the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast, all the podcasts for all your sporting needs right there. Check us a rating review for all of those on your Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It really does help out, so please do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out their new band, House Hats, as well as Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Section, Green, 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 and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, and Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. And we'll close out today's show with a quick daily review. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And Later, Jose. Nah. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old mate Deli over here just swinging by after we lost that bloody NBL Premiership Series. I'll tell you what, I've been drinking for 2 weeks. I'm a bit cooked, but bloody hell, what an experience. Just wish we'd fucking won it, you know? Just a bit of a brutal one. Bloody Jack McVeigh, stones the size of fucking the dog stones out near the back of Anarchy, I'll tell you that much. Jesus, dog rocks, isn't it? Dog rocks. Still, it was a good time. Good games with the boys. Enjoyed a lot. Now looking forward to a bit of time off watching the NBA, watching my beloved Pies, watching my gather round. It's pretty good. Bit of a heartbreaker right there at the end. Making me getting a bit fucking weird, but they still held on. Good on your boys, on your Pendles. Good, mate. I'll tell you what, though. Haven't been watching too much. Been a bit busy. Been on the cans heaps and hoops and hoops. Thing is, I watched that new X-Men's. I didn't even know they'd redone it. And then my missus was like, hey, look, there's new X-Men's. X-Men's 97. I'm like, fucking, I remember that from when I was a kid. So I watched it. I'm like, this is fucking great because it's just like the old ones. So I had to go back and watch the old ones and then I caught up. That's bloody good. So go check out X-Men 97. There's a bit of pop culture for you right there. It's about 97 out of 10 Deli ones. Sick as. It's got fucking Rogue, Wolverine, my favourite, Gambit. That dude is all fucking chops. Oh, mon ami, huh? That's how he rolls. It's fucking great. Oh, I love it. Anyway, go check out X-Men 97 on what is it, or the Disney's or whatever. All right, there you go. That's it for this week. I might watch some movies or whatever this week, so I've got some pop culture to talk to you about. Did I even do Dune 2? I can't even remember. Righto, till next time. Motherfuckers, Deli out.